Washington Week. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The public statements were noncommittal. Nonetheless, this was a week of rising expectations for a U.S.-sponsored agreement on a new Sinai withdrawal. Israel's Ambassador Simcha Dinitz and Undersecretary of State Joseph Sisko worked all week on an actual draft of an agreement. At the end of the process, Dinitz saying only,
"We have concluded going over all the major points of a projected agreement. And now we will refer, of course, the material to our respective governments for possible comments or remarks."
That same Friday evening, Secretary of State Kissinger arrived in Vail, Colorado, fending off questions about an early resumption of his peace shuttle.
Going to the Middle East on Wednesday?
Nothing has been settled yet.
When do you think it will be?
Well, we don't know yet.
Well, there is a breakthrough, though, isn't there?
I wouldn't. You know, we've been making progress, but I don't want to characterize it as a breakthrough yet.
But behind the noncommittal words, there were those rising expectations, described by Bernard Kalb.
Everyone remembers what happened last March when Kissinger flew off to the Middle East on a cloud of optimism, only to find that a deadlock existed between the Israelis and the Egyptians, and the diplomatic shuttle came crashing down. This time, the strategy is clear, to play it low-key, to keep expectations down to a minimum. It was for that reason that, this time, a substantial amount of the Jerusalem-Cairo bargaining was done in advance here in Washington through the intermediary efforts of the Secretary of State. But enough has already been put down on paper to prompt one Israeli columnist to write, "The talks have reached the point from which there is no way out except an agreement." The Kissinger trip to Vail could be part of the stage setting for the shuttle, a highly visible meeting between Kissinger and President Ford, the White House then making the announcement that the secretary will be heading to the Middle East, the secretary departing by the middle of the week. Only an unexpected hitch would cancel that scenario. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
More of the Washington Week after this.
Have you entered the fabulous CBS Radio Mystery Theater Contest? It's in full swing right now, and will continue all through the month of August. Listen to the Mystery Theater today for details on how to enter. You can win an all-expense-paid, 7-day, 6-night vacation at Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. Each winner can take 3 people to Disney's Vacation Kingdom of the World. 16 people in all will be our guests. You'll fly first class and stay in luxurious accommodations. You'll see Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. You'll receive free tickets to all attractions at Walt Disney World. You can swim, golf, play tennis, ride horseback, camp, and dine in elegance. We have 400 Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. There'll be weekly winners all this month. 16 people in all will have the chance to enjoy these free trips to the Vacation Kingdom of the World, Walt Disney World. Listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater today on this station for all the contest details. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
In days past, President Ford has complained that the current rash of CIA investigations has kept the U.S. from trying to help the moderates in Portugal. But this week, as the anti-communist protests grew, Secretary Kissinger pointedly offered at least vocal support for the moderates, and just as pointedly warned against Soviet intervention on the side of the Portuguese communists.
In Portugal, a focus of current concern, the Soviet Union should not assume that it has the option, either directly or indirectly, to influence events contrary to the right of the Portuguese people to determine their own future.
Kissinger also appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee this week to deny U.S. complicity in the assassination of Chile's President Allende. For its part, that committee concluded that former President Nixon is not inclined to testify on Chile and other matters, and served a subpoena on the White House for pertinent Nixon administration documents and tapes, an issue likely to be decided by the courts. A U.S. appeals court this week decided that President Ford had no authority to impose those oil import tariffs, a decision that will be appealed, but is also being rendered moot by developments this week at the Western White House. Robert Pierpoint reports.
President Ford has now bounced the ball back to the Democratic-controlled Congress with a slight spin on it. He has announced a veto of the effort by Congress to extend the price controls on domestic oil when those controls expire at the end of this month. Either side of Capitol Hill can sustain that veto by one more vote than one-third. And Federal Energy Administrator Frank Zarb said at the weekend that he believes, quote, we have sufficient strength on the Senate side to uphold the veto. But to ensure even more votes, President Ford put some spin on his serve by telling Congress that if his veto is sustained, he will in turn lift the current $2 per barrel tax on imported oil. In making this offer at an energy symposium in Vail on Friday, the president explained that this will cushion the impact, his words, of the sudden price decontrols on August 31st. Zarb later said that the overall result would come gradually over about the next 9 months, assuming that the oil companies are restrained by free market forces, and, Zarb said, would amount to about 3 cents a gallon increase in the price of gasoline. Congress gets its chance to return serve when it convenes early next month, with a vote to override the president's veto scheduled for September 4th. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Vail, Colorado.
Secretary of the Treasury William Simon this week charged that the food stamp program is a haven for chiselers and ripoff artists, a charge denied by food stamp supporters. At the same time, there was some embarrassment when the Social Security Administration admitted $403 million in federal welfare overpayments. Associate Administrator Robert Bynum blaming in large part the confusion resulting from the takeover from state administration of the program. But Bynum conceding most of the money will not be recovered.
It's a lot of money. I don't really believe it's waste. It's inevitable in programs of this size dealing with the issues with which we deal that overpayments and underpayments will be made. As a taxpayer, I feel very sensitive about any amount of money being paid out that's improper. And it is true that that is the case in these instances.
The Agriculture Department this week came out with its new crop report, still predicting a record corn crop, but because of the Midwest drought, down about 200 million bushels from previous estimates. Secretary Earl Butz, to be on the safe side, he said, immediately called for a continued suspension of new Soviet grain sales.
We have decided to request both the Soviets and the American exporters to the Soviets to refrain from any more contracts in the American market, at least until we see what's happening from now on.
The Washington Week continues in a moment.
The war's over. We don't have to think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who serve their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
As in the Eisenhower years, linksmanship seems to have become a hallmark of this administration. President Ford played golf day after day in Vail. Vice President Rockefeller, we heard, still relaxes by playing his brothers for a silver dollar a hole. But not Secretary Kissinger, who arrived in Vail saying he gave up golf some time ago after accidentally scoring a hole-in-one. Golf apparently was too easy. The Mideast and its brinksmanship more of a challenge. At the end of a Washington Week produced by Ellen Wadley, I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News.